mistress needs a cup of tea. Now, she is overcome.
Oh!
Forget the tea. Call the doctor. Come along. Sit down, girl. Do you have money?
Oh, Mr. Copperfield left.
How much?
150 a year.
That at least is something. Now, sit. Sit, child, and breathe.
Oh.
Yes, breathe. I'm sure the doctor will agree with me. Breathe. Whilst we wait for my great niece to arrive.
But I do think...
I have a presentiment. A girl child. And you will call her Betsy Trotwood Copperfield. And we shall make sure, you and I, that she is never trifled with. That her life is not full of false confidences and lies and affections that... Betsy Trotwood Copperfield. You wait and see, my dear girl. All will be... I believe that is the doctor.
Doctor, attend your patient.
Hurry. My great niece Betsy will not be kept waiting.
Well, despite Miss Trotwood's great expectations, David is about to make his entrance into this world. Here he is.
It's a boy.
Nonsense! Look again, you fool!
It's a boy!
Well, whatever use is a boy? Ugh. A boy!
David, after his dead father. A boy given to enthusiasms and make-believe. So... Fatherless, David Copperfield spends his time telling tales with the servant whilst his mother, the young widow, looks for a future with grown-ups.
Look, Peggotty, look! Crocodiles!
Well, if you must, Davy.
In the River Nile and all over Africa and Australia too.
Then I'm glad I'm here in East Anglia where there ain't no crocodiles.
I suppose. Peggotty, were you ever married?
Whatever put that question into your head, Davy?
But were you? I mean, you're a handsome woman, aren't you? Not like Mama, of course.
Oh, she's quite little dolly. As for me, no, I wasn't. I don't have mine to either.
I only mean if you were married and somebody died, then you could get married again.
If they was carried off by a crocodile, so to say. Yes, if you wanted to, you could do that. Why'd you ask, Davy?
Oh, no reason, really.
Is it because of the gentleman who takes his hat off to your mamma? Why don't you read me some more about the crocodiles, Davy? Just in case they was ever to bring their big mouths and their big teeth round these parts.
All right. This fearsome creature does not eat its prey at once, but worries it to death.
Perhaps then he begins to realise that he who tells the tale can make the listener believe whatever he wants.
Mama, where do swallows go in the winter?
I'm sure I don't know, Davy. Perhaps we could find a book which would tell us all about it.
But I want to know now, Mama. Not when we can find a book. And anyway, what book?
An encyclopedia, I should think.
Oh, Mr. Murdstone, you gave me such a fright.
Such a pretty fright, Mrs. Copperfield.
What encyclopedia? Oh, I didn't mean to blame you, sir.
What encyclopedia? Have you got an encyclopedia?
This is your son, I see, Mrs. Copperfield.
Do you know where swallows go in the winter? Do you know my Mama? Who are you?
This is Mr. Murdstone, David. He is a friend of mine.
You do me a very great honour, Clara, my dear. May I kiss your hand?
How are you a friend of my Mama? I don't know you.
But then, my young princeling, there are a great many things you do not know. For instance, where swallows go in the winter. But if you and I can become friends, then perhaps we might find out together.
Shake hands with Mr. Murdstone, David.
I don't want to.
David!
I think nothing of it, Clara. I do not, for I think only...
Have you got an encyclopedia?
David, do be quiet.
I must leave you, Clara. I have business. I hope you and I will become friends, young man. I am your devoted servant, Mrs. Copperfield.
And I yours, Mr. Murdstone.
I don't like him.
I think Mr. Murdstone is a very proper gentleman, Davy. And if I like him, then I hope you can like him too.
I don't like the way he kissed your hand. He shouldn't.
He should do whatever he wishes. He's a very firm man, and sometimes I think we could all use a little more firmness in our lives. Good afternoon, Peggotty.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Hope you had a pleasant walk.
Very pleasant. Thank you, Peggotty.